Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is Six Rings.
The dynasty continues.
And football things.
The X, the Z, vertical routes.
I love football, man.
With your hosts, Andy Hart.
Andy Hart is a football genius.
I'm not going to pretend I sit down and watch the All 22.
Next question, Andy Hart, please.
Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Is that Fitzy with you this morning?
Absolutely not, Fitzy.
This just in, I'm dead inside.
And Chris Schein.
Derek Carr, however, is a guy I would ride tonight.
I think Matt Patricia's a boob.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the latest episode of Six Rings and Football Things, a Patriot-centric podcast brought to you by your friends at WEEI, Odyssey Sports, and 2400 Sports. Alongside the great, mighty, and powerful Andy Jumbo Hart and Shime Time Chris Shime, I'm your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens. On today's show, we'll discuss the recent Patriots coaching Zooms and some high-flowing confidence in the second-year linebacking core, Andy's column on who he thinks is going to make a veteran second-year leap, plus a little segment we like to call Pat's Potpourri, where we'll get to the news, notes, nuggets, and nonsense that have been floating and swirling around Patriots Nation. Gentlemen, good afternoon. How be we today?
Wonderful, Fitzy. I've been watching the PGA Championship all day, if I'm being completely honest.
That's a beautiful thing. The weather has been nice. It's going to be 90 this weekend. People are out and about enjoying themselves, the community, youth sports, leisure time. Even Andy Hart has a smile on his face today.
Damn right. What Shine just said, boat's ready. The boat's going in this weekend, and you will find me in a boat with a Miller Lite in my hand by Sunday.
Boats and Throws, the original title of this podcast, but of course, corporate shot it down. So here we are. We are Six Rings and Football Things. And of course, gentle reminder, everybody, to follow us on Twitter at Six Rings Pod. That would be the number six. Don't bother spelling it out. And of course, if you would like to ask a question anytime, SixRingsPod@gmail.com. We kick things off today in segment one, the first part of the pod, with the coaches' Zooms that I mentioned just a few minutes ago. On the previous podcast, we talked about Joe Judge, Matt Patricia, and their media availability in the back-to-back Zoom sessions. Earlier this week, Andy, we heard from Steve Belichick, who had a playful little back and forth, seemed to be in a good mood, which is amazing considering the workload that he has. He's also a father for the third time recently, so you know there's no sleep for the wicked. You glean from his presser that the kind of confidence the Patriots displayed in their youth movement at linebacker, the second-year linebacking core that will largely, second, third year, if you will, let's not parse or mince words, or numbers. What are they? Just science.
Focus.
The Cameron McGrones of the world, the Josh Uches, and of course, Ronnie Perkins, drafted last year out of Oklahoma in the third round by the Patriots 2021, that there seems to be a lot of confidence in these guys and their physical ability. Now, we haven't seen much from them to date on field. Perkins got a veritable classic Patriots red shirt last year. McGrone obviously recovered from the torn ACL. And Josh Uche, to this point, I think we can all agree, hasn't been a bust. But I would rather we not see him trend in that, Sean Crable, disappointing second round, even Chase Winovich direction. So How do you feel about the oncoming Perkins, Uche, and McGrone season, as the kids like to say, Andy?
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, Matt Gross started sort of this discussion when he talked about being excited about the linebackers they have, whether it's McGrone or anybody else, as maybe a reason they didn't address the linebacker position among their 10 picks on draft weekend. And you described it accurately. Like, there's potential. There's mid-round draft picks, second, third-round draft picks. So theoretically, these are guys that were well thought of coming out of college. Even McGrone, who's a fifth-round pick, had he not been hurt, probably would have been a higher pick, a speed-based linebacker out of Michigan. But there's also just endless questions. I think all of the Patriots linebackers right now, as I do a mental checklist, have spent at least one stint on IR the last 2 years. And because Uche has been on and off, Jennings,
Perkins spent the whole year last year.
Perkins the whole year.
McGrone, obviously. Raekwon McMillan, who there was a lot of good buzz last year. He was out the whole year.
For those reasons, first of all, health, you know, availability is the most important ability for Bill Belichick's Patriots. And then secondary to that is, we really have no idea if any of them can play, other than maybe McMillan, who's I call him sort of a young veteran, former second-round pick, Dolphins, Raiders, started for both those teams at various points, but still young, and we'll get into him a little bit later on. But what stunned me was the way Josh Uche was described by his, I can't call him defensive coordinator because it's not his title. We don't do titles. Defensive coach.
Right.
He said of Josh Uche, Steve Belichick, quote, "I see him as part of the," since it's the hot word right now, "part of the blueprint. I see him being an important piece to the puzzle for us going forward." And he talked on from there. I like the optimism, I guess. And he talked about it's not just Uche, it's how he fits in with the other pieces, blah, blah, blah. I don't know that I hold the same optimism for him that Steve Belichick does. Now, he sees a lot more, been around him all in the offseason, the workouts, all of that. I was actually hopeful Uche was going to blow up last year with the arrival of Judon. I thought the arrival of Judon might open up opportunities for Uche, and they just never really came. There was a couple little blips here, like one-offs in games, late in games, but I'm intrigued by his athleticism, his size, the idea. But year three in the NFL, I mean, hell, year three in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes was what, an MVP and a Super Bowl champion? Like, life comes at you fast in the NFL. You don't generally have a lot of time to develop. So I think it's interesting how positive Steve Belichick was on Uche. I hope he's right.
So, yeah, Shime, I would just want to say we've seen flashes of Uche. In 2020, he had a couple of nice sacks, a couple great rushes. Last year, we didn't see as much. Like Andy said, he underwhelmed. Maybe some cleanup duty in the aisle sacks, but not the potential. No, he hasn't delivered on said potential that we've seen yet. Are we just you know, pinning the defensive hopes of the Patriots to promise athleticism and, you know, freaky physical gifts, or do you think these guys can be scheme fits in a Patriots 2022 defense TBD?
I think Uche can probably be a scheme fit. Like, I think he can, he'll be involved. I just don't know that he'll be any kind of game breaker or any kind of like cornerstone building block. I think he could be a useful piece. I just don't see him as the ultimate, you know, foundational prospect or player that you want. I really don't see it with any of these guys, to be honest with you. And that's what has me concerned. And to be fair, I haven't seen Ronnie Perkins and I haven't seen Cam McGrone on an NFL field, really. So I can't tell you what I really expect from them. I can only tell you what I went back and looked at when they came out of college. And I didn't love what I see. I didn't hate it, I guess. And you also have to take into consideration how these guys are healing from whatever injuries held them out for an entire season. So I think Uche could have some impact. The other guys, though, I have zero faith in. And to me, it felt like an oversight not to have a better backup plan if they don't come through.
So let me ask you a philosophical question.
Ooh,
because okay. I actually look at it, I think, opposite of you, Shime.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Let me get my popcorn.
Well, I've seen Uche over 2 years. There's a reason it's called the year two jump and not the year three jump. Because generally, by the time you reach year three, you're starting to kind of, you are who you are. Maybe you're a backup linebacker. Maybe you're a special teamer or a fill-in.
Point of order, counsel. I had always heard that it was like the year three. Is that much more for like wide receivers, tight ends, and offensive specialists?
Oh, no. For Belichick is a big believer that between rookie season and year two is where you make your biggest jump for any position, position on the football field. And obviously, Uche didn't do that last year. If anything, I think he kind of took a step backwards or plateaued, however you want to call it. So I'm almost more able to buy into something I haven't seen. Cam McGrone, Ronnie Perkins, even Mack Wilson coming from the Browns. Haven't seen him as a Patriot. He's an interesting guy because the team's basically swapped guys whose playing time diminished in their careers starting out. Like Winovich saw his play time go down just like Mack Wilson did in Cleveland. So there's a part of me that I don't want to say given up on Uche because last August I was hopeful. I was really hopeful of him. And then when that didn't come to fruition at all last fall, I'm almost like, well, time to move on. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, I see exactly where you're coming from, Andy, because I understand the idea of, oh, at least these guys I think have more potential because I haven't seen them, whereas you've at least seen Uche. But I guess my ultimate question is, and Fitzy, you can probably lean towards this a little bit. I feel like if none of these guys pan out, though, aren't you kind of screwed? Like,
Not necessarily. You are screwed, blue, and tattooed if these guys don't work out.
Let me pause on that. You're being overly negative, Fitzy,
But I said if they don't work out in Shime's world, in this particular version of the Matrix.
It's simply a hypothetical.
It's a hypothetical, which is fine. I happen to believe the thing that I'm looking forward to, I've been pinning all of my hopes as the Foxborough fanboy, if you will, on the development of the offense, Mac Jones hitting his stride year two, opening things up, power rush game, and the Patriots finding a way to keep up offensively. And as we pointed out in the previous episode of Six Rings, there's reason to be concerned about the offensive development, who's going to be in Mac's ear, and exactly what the scheme, dream, and plan is going to be on offense this year, which is why I am sort of doing a preseason pivot to pinning my hopes to the defense, because A, obviously that's Bill Belichick's specialty. It's kind of the forte and what he's already in the Hall of Fame for, being the defensive
guru. Don't tell Josh Allen that. He'll never believe it.
And why don't you go on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast, you jerk? And also, I'm really most excited to see what this defense looks like, because they have committed to not having any sort of stud, standout, or shutdown corner. They might play anywhere between 3 and 7 safeties on any given play. And this linebacking core is a massive risk, gamble, and bet by the Patriots that the speed and athleticism that they're going to deploy from them all over the front, the middle, and the back end of the defense is going to be what's needed to keep up or stop the Buffaloes in Kansas City, and God willing, make them punt. But before I forget, Andy, I want to ask you this question about defensive ends and edge setters for the Patriots. Now, obviously, Matt Judon had a great season last year, kind of ran himself a little ragged. We don't know if it was COVID, a hidden injury, or him just getting too far upfield and people game planning for the way he got after the quarterback being the reason why he, like the team, tapered off at the end of the season. Guys like Trey Flowers are the quintessential, like perfect edge defender, defensive end for the Patriots, because they're strong enough to set the edge and hold up at the point of the attack. They can rush the passer. They're fundamentally sound. And I just wonder if Perkins, if Uche are big enough and fundamentally sound enough, big enough hands, long enough arms to fit that mold of what Belichick likes out of his edge defenders.
Well, I mean, not to play a Trey Flowers hand in the dirt defensive end kind of role, not all the time. But I think Uche has some stoutness to him that in certain situations you can do that, but they're more of the stand up Matt Judon types. And I think they have a group of those guys. And I also think you're going to see some of the versatility on the defensive line. People forget about Henry Anderson, who was a non-factor a year ago, a professional Patriots type versatile defensive lineman that
tore
his
pec early on, right?
Excuse me. His what?
He tore his pectorals.
Yeah, I tore him a pec.
I thought that went a different direction.
Yeah.
That's the great line from Kingpin. Are you okay? I think I tore my sack. What did you say? I said, I think I tore my sack.
Well, I thought that's what you said about Henry Anderson. And I can understand why he missed the whole year if that was the case, but also for the pec injury as well. But no, so like they have these guys that I think are more on the outside linebacker, edge setting, athletic mold, Perkins, Uche. But I wanted to get back to, so you touched on it, the safety depth. Certainly Duggar, Phillips, Peppers are or could be a linebacker on every single play or a linebacker-like role. You add in Bentley, who they like slash trust slash have come to grips with his pros and cons, strengths and weaknesses, what he is, limitations. And then when you mix in Raekwon McMillan and Mack Wilson, two veterans who have played in the NFL, just not in New England, I don't know that it's boom or bust for Uche, Jennings, McGrone. And I would also argue your drafting has been even more hellacious than we thought if you get nothing out of that entire list.
Oh,
if
it's McGrone, way worse than we thought.
Jennings, Uche. But my guess is, and this is where I'm always kind of 50-50 negative slash optimistic, if you get anything out of one of those four guys, well, you're probably going to get something out of two of them. And probably two of them blow and won't be here very long, may not be on whatever. But if you get two of those guys, the safety depth, and then you lean on the Mack Wilson, Raekwon McMillan, Juwan Bentley trio, I actually think you have a not good. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not putting together the freaking
but it's usable.
Yeah, like, and it's a piece of the puzzle, to use Steve Belichick's words.
Yeah, I
serviceable.
Think
that's what we're settling for now. Serviceable.
Hey, Fitzy, beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah, you're asking for any kind of bright side, Fitzy. There you go. At the very least,
why am I the voice of optimism on this damn podcast?
You are not. I just asked a question. Like, we're settling for serviceable now. I happen to think they'll be more than serviceable. I'm buying into their promise and potential. And it's not just because, oh, Belichick must have liked him and he drafted him for a reason. So obviously I should buy in and show all the Foxborough faith, lock, stock, and two smoking barrels. No, these guys have... They should have the physical tools to be able to get it done. My only question was, are they small enough? But Shine, back to you.
I think Andy kind of cleared it up a little bit. Like, I think he's right. I think with the safety depth that you have, those guys are versatile enough where they play this kind of hybrid safety linebacker spot. So even if those guys necessarily, the McGrones and the Perkins and the Uches, don't necessarily work out, you have something that you can at least work with at the linebacker position, even if it's, you know, a couple safeties playing linebacker on every play. And it's you have McCourty and one safety up high, and then you have two other safeties down in the box. Like, I can at least, that's kind of the direction I thought they were going with anyways when I saw all these safeties being drafted. So I guess I kind of understand that perspective.
All right, here's a Six Rings question I want to ask. Let's run around the room, and then everyone who's listening right now, please reply, weigh in. Maybe we'll even do a little bit of a Twitter poll based around this. So of the linebackers that the Patriots are looking to rely on that we haven't seen much from in previous seasons, come 2022, who do we think between Perkins, McGrone, McMillan, or Uche we will see the best season from? Shima, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, I think it has to just be Raekwon McMillan is the obvious answer here, just because, like, he's at least played in the NFL a little bit. Like, I understand it hasn't been a lot, but, like, he was a second-round pick by the Dolphins. Belichick likes to take relatively high picks from other teams and make them at least marginally better on his team. So I think McMillan probably has the highest upside this season is what I would go with than the other guys.
Okay. I think McMillan's the answer. I think he's got like 20 starts in his career. I thought he was intriguing last summer before he tore his ACL. Even his personality seemed a little bit in line with what we saw from that free agent class. I think he was going to fit in on and off the field.
He actually has 32 starts in his career, just so you know.
Okay. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, I will say, inside linebackers, there's a lot of those guys that make their way through that you never, they're like guards in some sense, guards, defensive linemen. They're these guys that just bounce around the league. You know the name, and then you look at their resume and you're like, wow, that guy started 58 games over X number of years or whatever.
He did have 100 tackle season his rookie year. So like, I think there is some.
Somebody has to.
Oh yeah. And they were not able to fight about tackles.
Was Juwan Bentley good last year?
This is not a fight about tackles.
It's just to say that he was on the field doing something compared to.
He was on the field. If you had been on the field, you would have had 100 tackles. That's how the nature of the inside linebacker position works.
I probably would have got run over a few times.
But Andy, a lot of times, and unfortunately, I bet you he did too. And the same thing happened with the Patriots as well. Safeties end up making the tackles. And when a safety is your leading tackler, you could say that's probably no bueno because that means they're getting through to your third line of defense. But now also it does depend because a lot of safeties are now playing closer to the box and they're playing.
Richard Troy Polamalu led the Steelers or was near the top of the Steelers at times. And they were all within like 3 feet of the line of scrimmage.
Human anomaly and a complete freak of nature. Real quick. So we can wrap up.
I wanted to just say quick. I actually think McGrone might be the upside guy. Yeah. Like the word that you used, Shine.
Yeah.
Now, I think fans have put the Fitzies of the world, the Jerry Thorntons of the world, the super fans have put way too much stock in this idea that he is the answer to the modern speed-based Patriots linebacker. That's not fair to him. That is not fair. The guy didn't have that extensive playing time or career at Michigan. He comes out, probably could have come back for another year, comes out, gets hurt. Like, there are lots of, I don't want to say red flags, but question marks for the guy. But if you're saying best case scenario, if like the absolute best thing happens, it might be McGrone having the best upside.
Yeah, look, listen, the reason why Steve Belichick's and other coaches of the Patriots world are so excited about Cameron McGrone and the others is because they're theirs. It's like you get excited about your own kids. It doesn't mean that they're going to be the best athlete or that they're the most well-behaved. We deal with them because they're in our house, and that's all we got. I will say, though, that if you do a tertiary little search on Twitter for Cameron McGrone, it's McGrone, or the Irish response to any jokes Andy Hart makes, you see all the amazing things that Gerard Mayo, Steve Belichick, they say that he's done an amazing job picking up the defense and that his physicality, if you will, his tools, if you will, Andy, are what get the coaches most excited for him to maybe develop into something. And it's a plus that even though he was recovering from the ACL, he did work out and practice with the team for a couple of weeks last year. And they said that was a great step in the right direction. So we shall see. Once again, give us a vote. Reply to the pod if you get a chance on the socials. Which of the Patriots' second/third-year linebackers you think is going to make the biggest leap come year two on the 2022 New England Patriots defense? And, of course, give us a follow at SixRingsPod@gmail.com to get your questions heard or largely ignored by Andy, cherished and savored and appreciated by me and Shime Time.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.